Just say, like, for instance, I may be of that view.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak to Barbados, right? But I am on the ground in other countries at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And in one instance, my advice to my client was that the poll data not be released. Suppose I was of that view in Barbados.
So you see now that I recall that as being wicked and unjust.
No, the wicked and unjust.
So you get your money in any case, released or not released, but you feel that we out here should not be privileged to it.
No. Media polling is different. I'm saying when a political party commissions a poll, they have the right to withhold or publish. But a media organization commissions a poll to release it, right? So I'm saying that if a political party commissions a poll and it decides it is not in their best interest to release the information in the public domain, they have that right. So strategically, I would say to you that, you know, maybe there could be two reasons that you would not release a poll. One could be that the information in there is not flattering, or the other one is that the information in there is too flattering.
Well, in your case, which it was?
I can't say. But I tell you, I mean, if you look at what goes on in France, for example, they have a moratorium where polls cannot be released within a month of an election because the concern is that flattering or unflattering the information influences people's voting. I have accepted no, Mr. Straker's tenantry. Since the 2013 election and since the Trump election and since the referendum in the United Kingdom. Right. I have accepted that polls do influence public opinion. And I am of the view that it's perhaps unwise to be polling and releasing information so close to an election. I am now of that view. I wasn't of that view before.
So why you don't feel like it altogether, to do away with it
because
altogether?
Because what, Poland to do away with it altogether?
Yeah.
But I mean, people could make that decision too.
Well, then that's what...
That is something that if people decide they want to go away with it altogether, that's fine. But I don't think that will happen because there will always be a market for people to understand what people's views are thinking, what people are thinking.
But Mr. McCum, but you was able
you
to
You put
do
me out of work.
No, you put it up. You was able to do a poll, was paid for it, and publish it, and then said you wasn't happy with it. Now, why would you do a poll?
Are you back at that again? We are talking about that. We discussed that already. We discussed that. Listen, we moving on. And I am saying to you, my current philosophy is no. I am now inclined to think that it is perhaps unwise in some instances.
You're not getting wrong to my way of thinking.
Well, but it's not unwise to commission them because you need to know what people are thinking, but maybe it is unwise to publish them. But a media organization will also have different ideas. And I'm saying if you feel that the media organization, the nation, should publish them, speak to them or maybe Barbados today because they have done polls in the past and say to them, look, it's time for a new reading of public opinion. I tell you, it's the question that's most frequently asked of me. You know, when is the next poll coming? You know, what is the view on currently going on? And I you know, my reading on the ground is that these third parties are not as popular as you may think. There is no historical basis on which one can argue that a third party will pose any threat. Maybe the third parties can tell me which seat they're going to win. If the third parties can say to me with confidence that we have poll data from somebody else that says that we're going to get more than 20%, which is the threshold they need to cross in order to actually win a seat, then I think that there's a basis on which we can discuss the influence. Until then, I am not convinced that they're going anywhere, and I don't see them as a threat that you see them as. These third parties are actually threatening the Democratic Labour Party more than you might think. But that's a view that you guys don't agree with.
Listen to me, Mr. Vikram. Listen to me. And I just want you to listen to me carefully, right? You are saying that you don't see the third parties as a threat. Well, I see them as a threat, and I'm glad that you say that the threatening the DLP too. Because I told you all along, polling at plus or minus five
is not making
sense. Tantamount to taking money by false pretenses. Because the market, not me, the market is calling for plus or minus one. That'd be a 51, 49. Mm-hmm. 48, 50, you know, it'll be close. So therefore is the market. So these parties can make a difference in there. They can. Whether you think so or not.
Well, they can make a difference if it's 51-49. My view, sir, is that the next election will not be decided within a 5% margin. My feeling is that the next election will be considerably greater than 5%, one way or the other. But I appreciate that this is a view that you do not share, and I think that one has to respect different opinions in this business. All right, sir. We're going to have to run because it's time for the regional roundup. We break for the regional roundup. We take about 10 minutes and then we come back to you with more of Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we end at 1. Do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790 is the number you can call. Remember, we're with you until 1 o'clock. We need to take a break in about 20 minutes for the latest news. So we're going to have to go fairly quickly. And I just want to remind you, or tell you, all of you, Saturday of this week, we will be having a function at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center in honor of Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford himself. This is an important activity, and I make the point that it is not a political activity. It is an activity that is being put on by several of his former students, myself included. We are honoring Sir Lloyd. We are honoring him as a person who taught us and taught us well. And we think it appropriate and fitting that we should do so at this point in time of love. So we're saying to serve with love on Saturday. Any of you who are former students of Sir Lloyd, and I know there are several of you who were, and you're interested in attending the event, it's going to be a dinner, and probably Sir Lloyd will dance for us with his wife. I don't know if many of us will want to do any dancing. There will be special tributes. There's a video presentation that's prepared by the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation. We are also having something, a tribute from Gabby Carter. Myself and Sharon Marshall will be the master of ceremonies, master and mistress of ceremonies, or masters of ceremonies, whichever you put it. So it promises to be a good event to pay tribute to a good person, a person who taught us all a lot, who has made an outstanding contribution to education in Barbados, regardless of your political views and opinions. So Saturday at the Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center, tribute to Sir Lloyd, to serve with love, and all of you who were students of him or persons who may have an interest are invited. You can contact me off air if you want to get tickets. Ivani Brewster, there's several other ticket locations. Ticketpal is also one of the locations. So I just want to remind you all that that comes off this Saturday and you're encouraged to join us. Two emails, two WhatsApp I want to read, WhatsApp messages I want to read before we go to the polls. And the first one is from Adrian Bascom, and he's saying, Peter, the first thing you need to do is answer questions when they're put to you. Don't run from them and concentrate on the PM. You must learn to look at both sides of the fence. Yes, we have made some mistakes along the way, but we're trying to fix the mess that was left by the past government. The part I want to agree with, Peter, you don't do justice by asking, by not asking for both sides. And then there's another email, another WhatsApp, where a person says, Peter, ask Straker's Tenantry if school stabbings are also under the present Prime Minister's track record in the same way that the prison burning was under Ms. Motley's track record. Ouch. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
I suppose as a leader, you have to take absolute responsibility for the things that happen
you?
Once you're in
how
charge.
How are you doing, sir?
But you say you've only got a little bit of time left, so you know the greetings and stuff and the emails and WhatsApps take up a lot of time. So if you forgive me, all right, please. Mm-hmm. I like you. I like the way you're here, but you haven't been here for a couple of weeks. Neither have I, unfortunately, but you know.
You like me? I don't know. I thought that you disliked me immensely.
You like myself. Sorry.
Oh, you like me, right? Yes, yes. I see. Yeah, I'm sorry about that mistake.
I'm going to say it in public. I like you in public. I know, my Peter. I like you. I don't like you. So you kind of hard and
depends.
Cold person that you got.
Yeah, no problem.
You got to be straightforward with, man.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just the way you throw words together.
I like you, though, as a contributor, because I find that I may be disagreeing with you a lot, but the conversations are engaging because you have an intellect, which is something that I admire.
Intellect.
I think that you often misuse your intellect for the wrong purposes.
You,
no, you use it for the wrong purposes.
No. You can't.
You do. You're often misguided, okay. But I will put you right when I can, you know?
Well, I hope that perhaps you would do that when, you know, you are in fact right. So, I mean, to assume that you are right, I don't know. That's just kind of an ego thing that I can't really be part of, man. Come on. It's like saying that, you know, if I say something that you disagree with, I am dumb or stupid or off on left.
Anyway, you're never dumb or stupid, not you. Just misguided.
I hear that, man. Here's the thing, right? I mean, okay, you say that the agenda should be leadership. That's what you think. I think the agenda should be campaign financing. I have a reason for saying that as well, too. When I raised that, it said, Mark, okay, come is up in you. Enough. Come is up in you. But when you guys come with the leadership thing, you can do it over and over again. How can the issue be leadership when you seriously have a governance issue?
If the governance issue corks up people who really and truly are not the best suited to lead, particularly out of a crisis like this, or you say Ms. Morley's a crisis manager, well, that may very well be so. But this is a level of crisis that requires a certain type of experience, of professional wherewithal that a lawyer can help us with. But that's a personal opinion. Here we go. You know, there is an advertising company most famous in the world called Procter & Gamble. I'm sure you must have heard about that because you might have done marketing at some point. Procter & Gamble has this thing, and the people that made toilet paper in Barbados exercise the plant was great.
Ironically, yeah.
Well, no, but they did. They make very good, excellent tissue. Procter & Gamble will pay for the entire shelf in a supermarket and put all different brand names on the shelf. All the different brand names really and truly are owned by the same person. But people will go into the supermarket and see all these brand names and choose one over the other, believing that they have an element of choice. Point is, at the end of it, they're still paying for a product that...
It's Procter & Gamble.
Yeah?
It's Procter & Gamble.
Procter & Gamble, really. Yeah. Well, yeah, they actually were investors in those products as well, too. So it goes back at them eventually. So you have this element of choice, or this feeling of choice,
where that is not really a feeling of choice.
It's not a real choice, right? No, I am. Look, Labour parties are one party. It was once the Conservative versus the Labour. Mm-hmm. Labour split in two, but it's still Labour. So you got 60 people on the shelf, and you got to choose from them. It doesn't matter where you choose from one branch or the other. You gonna end up with the same policies, the same type of implementation plan. Maybe one a little more foolish than the other. I say that with all the spite in the world. I mean, one really more foolish than the other.
All the spite in the world.
I'm telling you, it is the same party, just two different branches.
So the UPP different?
People,
The UPP different?
No, I am just saying.
No, I'm just asking.
If the UPP is different, you know, when it speaks to the fact that they all represent professional elite skills, they're different.
Then the difference, you know, right?
I'm an artisan.
So your answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Right. There's a difference.
So the UPP and the different.
They're professionally
solution bash solutions Barbados and the different.
Elite. The difference between solutions and UPP are the fact that at least you have different types of individuals coming forward. You don't have these.
What types of individuals? Lennette Eastman is a lawyer. She's a lawyer.
Only one.
Lennette Eastman, that you are so sweet on, is a lawyer.
One. You know, in the past, the attraction of the Democrats...
Solutions Barbados is led by an engineer just like John Boyce. Richard Seedy.
I have no problems with that. But you see, that's the thing about the Dem. The Democratic Labour Party had the difference over the other side because of the presentation, the people that they presented to the public. They gave you a larger variety. Lawyers and stuff.
No. Sorry, anti-America, don't come with that. They have engineers in the BLP side too. Right, yep. There are social development specialists in the BLP. Marshall, you seem to be sweet on Marshall as well. She's an economist. She's a lawyer.
You know the truth is, right?
Or you're not sweet on her anymore.
There are a number of lawyers who left one side to cross over the other because they recognize in the Democratic Labour Party, lawyers ain't had that much chance of being selected. It has been so for 20, 30 years, and I'm thinking that even with that particular outlook, the way they presented themselves to the public, they should have done a hell of a lot better. But of course, they have not. So we have these openings now where a group of other people have come forward. It is not really about voting for the alternative people, as you may want to
vote against them.
Or they're less than 5%. They can, you know, you would think about, you know, how the polls can actually shape elections and stuff, or how it shape election people's opinions and how they should vote. And they should not be polling a month before elections. That is fine. But, you know, what you say to also shape the way people or influence the way people, you know,
I'm flattered that you think so highly of my words.
No, but it is true, because you come with this thing about a scientific approach. All you are doing is polling the response or the effectiveness of the media houses in their ability to make people think correctly and do the correct thing.
Anti-America, let's take it on a different level. And let me ask you, which seat is the UPP or any of these third parties likely to win?
I'm thinking that perhaps in the next 2 months, a message could be clearer. A message could be so profound that it can change people's minds.
And what would that message say? What would that message sound like?
Vote out Labour. Make a change. Labour has done you... Look, 50 years of Labour, enough.
Yeah, but if you vote out Labour and vote in what appears to be the most organised of the group, which is the UPP-CAP coalition, right? You're voting out Labour and you're replacing it with a set of lawyers and engineers who are fundamentally the same, or from the same party because they were former Labour. What so you're saying that you are prepared to support Lynette Eastman now she is no longer a member of the Barbados Labour Party when you didn't support her when she was a member of the Barbados Labour Party?
You know,
and that she had an epiphany and she's a different person now. She's leading the UPP slash CAP.
Specifically, Lynette had a lot of experience in government as well. She also represented Barbados overseas on various boards, international organizations.
She didn't do that. Richard
a hell of a good job in bringing about legislation that affected Barbados. And the truth be told, she's also very invested putting grant money forward for industrial enterprises, small businesses and stuff. Grant money. She's the only minister that I have known that have done that.
Richard, so Don Valenis hasn't done that for you too?
Don Valenis has done what? Don Valenis is a very good speaker. He's a good looking man too. But Don Valenis only talks, and you know that I do.
But he's minister of industry the same way that she was?
Yes, but you cannot compare the two. I think it's like apples and oranges. I don't think the two are comparable at all. Okay. I like Donville, but he, you know, Donville started off good, but he just went downwards. So, like, I don't want to talk about personalities, no, because he's still a friend.
No, but ultimately, it comes down to personality. Not only his friend, he's your member of parliament, if I remember correctly.
No, my member of parliament happens to be St. Michael's South Central. Okay, so an engineer.
Well, this is Richard Seeley.
Right, but here's the thing.
Okay.
And that has been a very...
Also, then it's not true that you're a sweetheart Marsha, then.
You know, I heard the argument about Marsha. When you mean you're talking about the Economist woman?
Yes.
Oh, it's a middle class area, and she's middle class, and how she can appeal to that kind of people and stuff. I think that Barbados should go well beyond that. Well beyond that. Ask yourself a question.
So
you have 60 members of a Labour Party. 60 members of a Labour Party. Which one of them can stand up on their own without the party ticket and win a seat? Which one?
So
I think David Eswick could do it. And I think Dennis Gumbel and St. Lucie can run without a party and still win a seat. Who else can do it? Huh? It really doesn't have so much to do with leadership.
You think
it really doesn't
have
so much to do with party. It has everything to do with popularity or how people perceive you to be. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the media has not done a very good job in altering that at all. And when you come to the radio station and talk about, you know, you don't think that the 5%, anything under 5% would influence the way seats in parliament. It doesn't help the situation.
Anti-America.
Independent and win. Anybody. But if you keep voting in D, if you keep voting in Labour, that chance will be shut down completely.
Okay.
We want to have a better democracy. That means open the doors. Show Labour that they do not count that much anymore. That's what this is all about. Not so much about the UBP and the other guy, the engineering fellow.
Junior, if I am telling you, my statistical analysis has told
I don't
me
care.
Of election results, of election results has shown that if you don't gain less than 20%, you're not likely to win a seat. That's based on history. That's based on evidence. What would you want me to say? The fact of the matter is that if you are no polling at 1%, which means that you might get 2%, or with the best will in the world, you could get 5%, you will clearly not win a seat. So if you are not in it to win a seat, then you have to be clearly in it to stop somebody from winning a seat.
No.
It's fairly straightforward.
That's your logic. No.
No, but I mean, it's where you want. If you're in it to win, you obviously in it to stop somebody from winning.
No, I disagree. I humbly disagree with that. I'm very sorry, my friend. But if it is that your polls suggest that kind of figure, all that it is saying is that people have not been sufficiently enlightened. It means that perhaps it's so difficult to get the message across. Well, yeah, but they have to do that. Ms. Eastman has been out since... No, Phillips, what's his name? Forget his first name.
But Lynette Eastman been doing to get her word across? Getting her word across is attacking Peter Wickham and saying that I am the reason that she's not popular? That could be the solution. The solution and since you are her friend, you should tell her that. Tell her leave out Peter Wickham. And then between me and her, I have nothing with her. I'm an analyst. Right. I have nothing to do with her. Leave out Peter Wickham and focus on the task that you have just outlined, which is she has to work on the public relations for the party. She has to get the message out there that they are different, which is a challenge because it's difficult to convince someone that you are different when the vast majority of your time spent in public life was serving a political organization that you are now attacking simply because they have changed leader.
No, well, you see...
So it's hard. She has a challenge on her hands. Solutions Barbados, I think, is different. And I have always said that. I see Solutions Barbados as being different because I don't see them as having any axe to grind. They have this Christian mission that they're on. And I certainly wish, I know you and I would agree in that regard, that we ain't really about that. But that's a mission that they're on, which appears to be very different. The UPP does not have the benefit of that because all of them are political has-beens. All of them are political people who try and fail. And now they end up together in a coalition to stop somebody.
Only three? That's two. not all. You come and you see the fact that you use the word all suggests to be a little kind of subjective assessment.
The, substantive leadership, the kind of Maria Agar, the Lena Eastman, the Wendell Callender, the guy that
Wendell,
running out
Wendell
by you.
Wendell ran as an independent?
He ran as a B and a D. And then you have this guy out there by you, Gil.
So
he's also a B.
Right. So four of them.
Right?
That's
there's
that's
four, and there's more.
That is
the guy up in St. John, he's a B too. He's a former BLP supporter as well.
St. John, right. But that is not a discredit to the individual. That
they're
is
not wrong with it. They're entitled to do it. But the point I'm making is that if you are not in it to win a seat, you got to be in it to stop somebody from winning. But you are saying that what they need to do is to demonstrate that they're different. And I'm saying, yeah, let's demonstrate that they're different. They spend the time doing that. They're demonstrating that they're different. But what are they? What is she spending time doing? Can't you name somebody that don't even take her on?
The thing about it is that their differences have been advertised every time they get to the radio, every time they go on social media, every time they do something in the press.
That's not
it's
true.
It's all about what they're doing different.
That's not true, Junior. That's not
party,
true.
I don't think either party is anymore. It's one Labour Party. I don't think what the Labour Party has ever really been concerned with artisan development. Or industrialization. They've always been concerned about the service sector and offshore industry and borrowing because the conditions are appropriate. That's what Labour has been doing for all these years. This lady, Ms. Eastman, is thinking now about maybe involving the creative people, in developing a different type of industrial activity. I mean, that is different, and that's something she's spoken to quite a bit. You know, I mean, the whole question of integrity, which the Labour Party now, both Labour parties are now trying to say, well, we're always about integrity and stuff. I've done nothing over for the past 2 years. You know, Miss Eastman is talking about, making this right, doing things and actually proposing what should be done and how it should be written. You can't research nothing better than she can, but she can speak clearly on certain issues of law. I know that is true.
She speaks well.
But when it comes down to the other side, she speaks well and she speaks detail, and that's why I like about her. She's a lawyer.
But my question is, if she speaks so well, why she come in a seat before?
Because it's more a reflection
or
of
worse
the electorate.
Yet, her nomination.
It is more a reflection of the people that has to make that decision as opposed to her. She could only try. No, you're gonna blame
somebody
her
here on the here on the WhatsApp asking why you don't go get off the air and go and marry Lynette Eastman. So I told him that you are already married.
I could marry Grammy Phillips too, because I like him as well too. Huh? You want me to marry both of them? Huh?
That would be polygamy. That would be polygamy.
Because there are people who have decided.
Unless
in it
is
Isaiah
Joseph, who is that had 800 wives.
You talk about books like I have very little knowledge of, but that's not fair, man. Come on. You know, if we talk about things, at least we have some kind of equal understanding about.
Block that. You can't be using that kind of language.
But come on. But they talk nonsense.
You think there's United States of Donald Trump?
And they are the most popular people in Barbados. But they talk nonsense.
No, it is not
so much about how worthwhile the individual is. It's about how the population responds to them. If somebody runs in a particular community and fails.
You have about 10 seconds to wrap up. So you get the final word. Go ahead.
It's always good talking to you. But, truth be told. When you're being rushed, man, you tend to say things silly, like the bad word. And I apologize there for that. My apologies. All right. Sorry. But thank you.
Your apology is taken. And I'd say, in closing, you made a very reasonable point that the new parties have to demonstrate the extent to which they're different. And I think that that's the challenge that's really ahead of them. And not about anything I say. It is a fact of what has to be done in order to speak to the electorate in a language that they find different. Okay, so that's a time for us to take another break. We take a break now for the latest. When we come back, we have until 1 o'clock to wrap up down to Brass Tacks. We hope that you can hear from me. Bye-bye. We finish at 1. This is down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. How are you? Good to hear you.
There are a few things. There's so many things which I want to talk to you about. But let me deal with mainly three. But the first thing I really want to talk about is the Suez situation. And the plan by Barbados Water Authority to create these injection wells. I heard the head of the Water Authority on the news, when was it, Tuesday or something like that, there, talking about what we're planning to do. I am not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable because I'm not hearing enough discussion, enough public discussion with enough people who are knowledgeable in this area. I heard also when a gentleman who has said that he, who has expertise in the sewage, who said that they had a solution, that they approached government, that they approached the Water Authority with a solution to the problem and gave them a cost. And the Water Authority did not get back to them. And then they heard the same head of the Water Authority come on and say, well, they were waiting. He was supposed to give them more information. But they didn't tell him he was supposed to give them more information. And anyway, it doesn't matter. Even if he gave them that information, they're not obliged to go with that idea. I have said before that how they're dealing with this situation right now is political. It is not about a technical problem that they can't get the problem fixed. But to me, it seems that they are trying to fix it on the cheap. And I do not understand. I don't understand the discrepancy between what the Prime Minister is saying in terms of they're borrowing all this massive amount of money and they're trying to solve the entire problem. And then it doesn't match with what the Water Authority now is saying, how they're just going to do these injection wells to relieve the pressure. And the dangers in terms of contamination to our water supply, that to me is something that has to be fully ventilated.
Question, would you not think that the question of contamination is so obvious that the ministry officials, the professionals in the Ministry of Health would have considered this before taking a decision like the one that they're taking? In other words, do you believe that you're the first person who thought of it and considered it a factor? I mean, they must have thought of it, no?
I have no idea what they've thought about, but what I do know is that they have not spoken to the people about it. Mm-hmm. They've not fully discussed it. Because he said, let's put it this way, he said that the way they're going to do it is to have this, to build this well with a casement, okay? So therefore, no water is going to be able to get out. None of the sewage that goes in then gets out into the...
So the concept of the well is basically to create a catchment for the overflow so that you relieve the pressure on the system.
So what happens when it fills? When the well fills all these...
I guess
things.
You sink
and
more
then,
wells.
And then after... And, pardon me? Then sink you pump it back out.
No, sink more wells.
Just a second. And if there's a failure at any point with that casement that they're putting in, and it does get into the groundwater, what happens then? How do you solve that?
It sounds...
But just a second. Mm. I don't want to get involved in that debate, okay? All I am saying is that if this is the plan that you plan to go with, then you have a right
to discuss
to sit
it.
Down with a fully ventilated in a public meeting with people, with other professionals, with all your professionals who want to argue for, and other professionals who, geologists... Or
I understand the point. I understand the point you're making, but with respect. But with respect.
I'm not comfortable.
I understand that, but with respect.
You're asking me to be comfortable with people right now.
I know, but what I'm asking you to do now is to let you respond to the proposal that you have put on the table. And I'm saying with respect to you, or with respect. I don't know that you are in a position to respond technically to the proposal that has been made. You are in no better position than me, right? What's your profession? What's your background?
Architecture.
Right. But you're not an engineer?
No, Peter studied engineering. Okay.
No, but the point I'm making is that to call a town hall meeting and say, your plan is to sink wells, and to have people who know nothing about the issue respond and say that's not a good idea, I don't know that it makes sense. What I think you need to have is a town hall meeting that you bring professionals together to say, look, we have a solution or we have a fix.
But Peter, I am not calling for people at the town hall meeting who don't know anything about it. I'm saying that people who also know about it can be at that town hall meeting too. Right. I'm not getting involved.
Right. Let's move on from this issue, because I think you have another thing you want to raise. Suffice to say, I share your concerns. Because I, like you, find it sounds very temporary, and it also sounds very dangerous, right? But I also accept that I am a political analyst. I'm not an engineer, and maybe they know something that I don't know. I also have reservations about the fact that I'm dealing with some people now that I don't have a whole lot of confidence in. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Ministry of Water Resources that is responsible for this issue, because they have not demonstrated to me that they have a handle on the issue. So I would have reservations. Having said that, however, you know, I am prepared to accept that it is possible that the professionals know something that I don't know. And I would suggest you do the same. But I share your concerns and your reservations. What was the other issue you wanted to raise? Because we don't have a lot of time left.
Right. The main anti-American in terms. He's mm-hmm. always talking about the fact that we need to have a conversation about campaign financing. I don't think that's the most important thing. What we do need to have a conversation about is constitutional reform.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows my position with respect to this administration. And an aside, you're talking to people, and there's a saying, convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. So you have that man that's called, people that call, that guy that call on his cell phone, he doesn't care what you have to say. He doesn't care about the facts you have to bring. He's not interested in that.
But is he not entitled to hold a view?
Of course he's entitled to hold a view. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when you hear people like that, then it makes no sense wasting the public's time engaging them for that length of time on that view. Because they are not going to change it. They aren't going to budge from it. They aren't going to be... If you can't reason with reasonable men, don't reason at all. They want to say what they have to say, let them say it, and say thank you, goodbye. Done with that. And then the people who listen to them will make their own conclusion on that there. But with respect to the constitutional reform that's needed in this country, we need that drastically.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to stop what has happened over this last 10 years or what have you, to make sure that that never happens again in this country. We need that to happen. Now, in order for that to happen, we have to have a two-thirds majority in Parliament. At least two-thirds of the people within the Parliament have got to agree to the situation. Now, again, everybody knows my position. This administration has to go. I hold no brief for any party. I hold no brief for PLP. I hold no brief for UPP. One of the other aspects I believe in is we need to have more than two parties in government representing the country of Barbados, because we have to have full ventilation of issues, and we have to have the ability for a government, let's say if a government comes up with something, we have to have the ability for the Parliament to veto it and say no, send it back, not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we don't have that. So we have a Senate that is just a rubber stamping.
Agreed.
Okay, that has to, that is not, we're modeled on the Westminster system, but the Westminster system doesn't work.
Yeah, you'll find no disagreement from me on that point. I think constitutional reform is necessary. What you're proposing is necessary. And I also think it is important that we have facilities that force Parliament to have debates and conversations on issues. The People's Initiative concept, which was from the Ford Commission, is something that I think is badly needed, where we can petition or lobby Parliament to bring up an issue and, if necessary, discuss it and vote on it. So the decriminalization of marijuana, which has just taken place in Antigua yesterday, that's something that we should have been able to force an agenda item to have it discussed. The problem is that there's no facility for us to do that in the case of Barbados. So I support your idea about reform, and I also support this other reform initiative, and that makes a lot of sense. So, sir, we're going to have to run. Thanks a lot for calling and making a contribution. Let's see if we can get probably two more calls in, clear the board before we go to the weekend. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Okay, we lost that caller. Say good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. We're into the last few minutes of Down to Brass Tacks. Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks. And yourself?
Good. I'm good.
Okay, one thing, a little song for you, because we ain't got much time.
Mm-hmm.
When you are faint, you have troubles, don't cry. Just remember, God is standing by.
Thank you so much, sir. It's good to know that God is standing by. Yeah, thanks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to the program. You're on the air. Okay. Good afternoon, welcome. You have a whole lot of calls. Let's say we have a little time, so let's see what we can do. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hello, good afternoon. I don't think what I have to say, we ain't gonna have enough time.
But you say
I call early.
And I can listen.
Oh, I wanted to talk about the 90 days. You're having the wrong thing going about that 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Section 62 of the Constitution, you see that 90 days has to do with the return of the results of the elections after the loose 90 days between the dissolution of Parliament and the return of the writ to the Governor General. Thank you.
Well, it's 90 days after the dissolution of Parliament that a new Parliament has to be convened. So I don't really see the problem there. It just means that the election has to be called the day before the 90th day, if this is your interpretation. Dr. Brastocks, good afternoon.
Hi.
Yeah, we still have 5 minutes on the program, so we can still have a conversation. Good afternoon and welcome.
Yeah, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Yeah, that's it. You didn't mention how much she takes for her. I'm not one of his students, but I appreciate the gentleman, so Mr. Lloyd. But I was wondering how much she takes for her cost.
Why not call me off here and we can discuss all of that? Yeah.
What number?
Call on the front desk.
Yeah. Like,
you call the front desk. No, the front desk, the VOB front desk, and they'll give you the, they'll give you my contact information.
All right, thanks.
All right, so you'll come to the program.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that would be good. It would be good if you could be there. So I do look forward to hearing from you. Just call the front desk, and they'll give you the information to contact me.
Yeah, we all have benefited greatly.
Indeed.
From the gentleman, so yeah. Others will follow.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Thanks much, ma'am. We have another caller. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm the telly dog today.
Yeah, well.
I ain't going to get into that, sir. I ain't going to get into that. That's for the naughty boys. Yeah. Now, Mr. Wickham, you have shown time and again that you strongly disapprove of Mr. Prime Minister Stewart and his style of leadership.
I do, yes. I am
not sure if you dislike him. I don't know if you dislike him personally or what.
I have a problem with him personally. I just don't think he's an outstanding leader.
For different reasons. Yeah. Maybe he's too dark. Maybe he's too flat. Maybe he talks too many big words. I don't know. Yeah. There are some people who like him for different reasons.
And there are some people who just don't like the way that he leads. Right?
Yeah, okay. But let me ask you a question. Owen Arthur is considered one of the top three prime ministers that Barbados has had. Am I correct?
Is he?
But it
depends on the basis that you assess them.
The only body who has served on it, he was Elbar. So what I'm saying, Owen Arthur was leader of the Barbados Labour Party from 1993. Mm-hmm. He was prime minister for 14 years of a party. And he has had, an untimely departure from the party as its leader. He gave up his membership, something that we have never ever seen in the history of Barbados. And his reason was that the party has lost its soul.
That was his opinion, yes.
Yeah, and that is something that I think is not being discussed by people because people both inside the Barbados Labour Party and outside.
Arthur, they're not discussing it because it is not relevant to most people. In the final analysis, the conversation, I keep saying to you and others, the conversation is not about Ms. Motley. The conversation is about Prime Minister Frondell Stewart. And I would argue that if Mr. Arthur had spent less time on Ms. Motley and more time on Frondell Stewart and his inadequacies, maybe the last election would have worked out differently. The fact remains that Arthur has several weaknesses. Arthur also has several strengths. And I have strong views on both individuals, former Prime Minister Owen Arthur and current Prime Minister Frondell Stewart. No one can ever say that I have been a lackey of either. But I admire the attributes of Prime Minister Owen Arthur and the length of time that he has served. There's no question about that.
I do argue that
I have any last word today, Arthur, because we're out of time. But I do argue that if Prime Minister Arthur had spent more time in his election campaign dealing with the weaknesses and deficiencies of the Stewart administration and less time on the issues he had with Mia Motley, who was in his own party, the last election would probably have turned out differently. And since you and him seem to be so close, you can carry that message back to him. I don't think that is the issue now. The issue right now is, how do you feel about the current leadership of this country? And do you think that it is possible that Ms. Motley can make a better leader? That needs to be our focus. It had nothing to do with Owen Arthur because he's not part of the picture. Arthur, I want to thank you for your contribution today, and I do wish you well. And I hope that I hear from you early in the program so we can have a proper discourse and exchange next time I'm on the air. I'm told I am here next week, Tuesday. So that is a promise. Special thanks to all of the people who called and made the program what it was today. I do appreciate the support from you, and I also appreciate the good call.